There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today. Hey, everybody, listen up. I got mega huge news. Meat Eater Live is heading back out on the road. That's right. Join me and the crew. Clay Newcomb, Cal, Yanni, Spencer's going to be there. Phil the Engineer is going to be there. Meat Eater Live, headed back out. Now, when you get every ticket, okay, every ticket you buy, you get a signed copy of our new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook. This tour is celebrating the release of the book. Buy a ticket, get a signed copy, Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, wild game recipes for the grill, smoker, camp stove, and campfire, which I'll point out is a $38 value. Here's where we're going to go. April 23rd, the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona. April 24th, the Balboa Theater in San Diego. April 25th, the Grove in Anaheim, California. April 27th, the Crest Theater in Sacramento. April 29th, the Union in Salt Lake City. April 30th, the Egyptian in Boise. May 1st, the Wilma Theater in Missoula. May 2, the Bing Crosby Theater in Spokane, Washington. May 4, Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon. And May 5, the last day of the tour, Pantages Theater in Tacoma, Washington. For tickets and more information, visit the events page at themeateater.com. Hope to see you at the show.
Hey, I'm KC.
I'm Jimmy.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Greg.
And you're listening to
The Element Podcast.
What's going on, people? We just experiment with any kind of noise we can make with our mouth. You know, we were having a conversation about mouth calling, and, you know, the bridge between mouth calling and making noises is real short. It's about the same thing.
It is.
It is. We're doing some driving here in Arkansas, but, man, there's been some crazy stuff going on in the state of Texas that we need to let y'all in on. Mm. All right? Some good deer hunting going on out
good
there.
Good deer hunting. And it's been a while, actually. It's been like 2 weeks almost.
Gosh, it is a long time.
Yeah, we kind of – sorry, y'all. We've been super busy. Mm-hmm. And when I say super busy, I mean like literally I don't talk to my wife most days on the phone.
Yeah.
That's how busy.
Yep. So. And, you know, I'm the same way, and they don't like that very much. So don't go too long.
The other day I was sitting in the truck, and I said, I think I was talking to Michael or maybe Clay. I don't know who it was, somebody. But I was like, man, I have not talked to my wife in 2 days, so I should probably call her.
Yeah,
that's good. How busy, man. That's how busy.
Eric, how busy are you?
Napping or?
Yeah. Eric, somehow, in the busiest time of the year, still finds a way to take a nap every day.
Hey, on the daily, baby.
On the daily.
You got to maximize your time.
Yeah, I believe it. Yeah? Yeah. So Maximus would be a good nickname for you?
Yeah, Napsimus.
So, Napsimus. Dude,
Grimus, Napsimus.
Speaking of nicknames, Gregnant.
Yeah.
If y'all don't know, there's a real funny spoof video on the internet about the word pregnant and how people can't spell it. And Gregnant is one of the ways that it is spelled.
It's actually by Eric's favorite artist.
It is.
Lublin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a shout out for you, Luby.
Go check him out.
There you go. There you go.
Old Luby.
Oh, Luby's Diner. my grandparents' favorite place to go eat whenever we'd go places.
Me too, man. I used to go my Meemaw all the time.
I miss Furs, dude. I'm sad it closed down.
You know, in Sulphur Springs, it lost the... At night, the U and one of the R's wouldn't glow,
mm-hmm.
So it said Evers.
oh, that's
bad news,
funny.
Man. They should have fixed the marketing.
They
but they've
should've.
Bulldozed it now, so apparently they weren't too interested.
Yeah, I wonder what's going to go there.
I know.
What is it?
Chipotle.
Is it really?
I don't know. Yeah. I'm just taking a wild guess.
Chipotle and Panda Express are the same restaurant.
Yes.
The layout's the same. They have the same scheme of ingredients and all that.
I'm not going to say who it's owned by, but we all know who owns these restaurants.
What?
I didn't say it. I had to whisper it.
Yeah.
Or not whisper, but mouth it.
Chad Grouse with Cruiser Saddles?
No.
Oh, I thought it was him.
No.
No.
It wasn't him.
We just got a phone with Chad. He's a nice guy.
He is.
He also makes the saddles that we use, and we use them like crazy this past week.
Eric used it, you know, to his advantage on Texas
he
Public
did.
Recently.
Mm-hmm. Man, Eric, gosh, let's talk about that.
Let the cat out the bag. Oh,
let's go.
Shot my first buck ever.
Oh, you gave away the punchline at the beginning.
Hold on.
What?
You? This is the first buck you've ever shot?
Yep.
Or the first?
It's only my second deer ever.
Mm. I thought you shot one before. Mm.
A buck? Oh, dadgummit.
That's why they make the shirt.
Yep.
Yep, that's exactly why.
You should go check them out.
When you shoot a buck and you don't find him, they say dadgummit.
They say dadgummit. That's the thing that happens. It's real life, guys.
It is real
life.
Listen,
if you're an archery hunter and you feel like everybody else is smoking them and you're just creating limpy mixed spikes in out there, all right, you're not the only one, okay? We actually have Spike Mike. He's not in the truck, but he will listen to this. Let's
see.
Right
after the Foundations Greg, episode that he's listening
okay.
to.
Okay. Every single one of us, Eric, you haven't missed this year, right?
I did.
You did?
Nebraska.
Yes, every single one of us has missed a deer this year.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it is a thing that happens to good archery hunters, okay? But Eric was no misser.
No.
He's a
no
Mr. Sir. Buck is what he is. Mr. Buck. So, Eric, let's talk about your journey a little bit, okay? And this is actually leading up to the release of a video, probably titled Eric's First Buck or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Something like that.
My first buck ever. Something to that
biggest
extent.
Buck
okay?
ever, is
biggest
yeah,
buck
swing.
Ever. Biggest buck ever. That's what we name it for sure. Eric, give us a little bit of backstory to your – if you're a listener of the podcast, you've heard this probably because, first of all, Eric is actually really good on podcasts because he thinks about what he's going to say, where I go too fast. So all that to say, that you've talked about this a little bit in the past, but it's a good opportunity to kind of revamp – talk about kind of your beginnings as a hunter and then kind of where you're at now.
19 I was.
See, I was just going to say. I remember, 22 I was?
Yeah.
Something like that. I first started hunting in, it was like 2011 or 12.
Okay, as an adult.
As an adult, mm-hmm. Something like that. And
he's single, so they don't want to get away the actual
age
right. here. Yeah.
You know, I don't come from a family that hunts, so picking up hunting was a little difficult. I had a couple friends that hunted, but still just getting started was a little difficult for me. And at that time, public land was, like, not really a thing. Like, people did it, but it wasn't, like, a popular thing, you
mm-hmm,
know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so kind of fell out of it because it was a little tough for me, and a couple years later I bought another bow and started watching YouTube and started getting into the public land scene more. I also had a camera, so I just started bringing that along with me and started filming, you know, the clown show along the way. Started putting videos together and started putting a few out on YouTube, and
they're cool. They're good videos.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, man,
appreciate it.
Yeah, that's why we originally made you move to Texas.
Let's see, and then what was it, 2020?
Yep.
I decided, so I shot a doe in, let's see, 2018 or 19, I can't even remember. And then 2020, I was like, all right, I want to shoot a buck.
This is a public land doe?
Yeah, no, that was private.
That's
sorry.
What I was thinking.
PLD?
Yep. And actually shot the doe on November 7th, and I had one friend that was like, congrats, but don't ever shoot a doe on November 7th again.
Hey, you tell them to be quiet.
Yeah.
All right, that was your first deer.
Yeah, it was. But 2020, I was like, all right, I'm going to shoot a buck. Started listening to a bunch of podcasts, including you guys.
I'm sorry, dude.
Just trying to figure everything out and how to kill a buck. And actually had a really good encounters that year. And one encounter was on November 7th again. And actually shot at a buck. And I'm pretty sure I hit him in the shoulder. That part's actually going to be in this episode that's coming out. So
sweet.
Pretty sure I hit him in the shoulder. Not very good blood and ended up not finding him. So got real down about that. And a couple months later, actually came down and filmed you guys hog hunt. And then pretty much brought me to this year where I got to hunt a little more. And Nebraska was a little tough. Missed a deer there. That was real close. I've been real close a lot of times, but
man, I can't remember where you missed. Oh, I do remember.
We remember.
That, that's yeah. right. That's yeah. right.
Just another clown show.
Hey, dude, it happens. But, everybody in this truck.
We were all hunting some Texas public land. What was that, last weekend?
Yeah, you spent some time on Texas public this fall, right?
Yep. And
how did that go for you?
Not actually. I saw some doe. I thought about does.
Doe. I saw.
Fun thing. So I think that the Mason-Dixon line probably has a lot to do with this.
Yeah.
But like once you go north of a certain point, the singular plural like delineation is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Where you would say like, I have 13 crappie, and yeah. maybe other people might say I got 13 crappies.
Yeah.
But we actually say crappie. So maybe that's a good example.
I don't know. I honestly, I think we kind of talked about this last night as being a Mason-Dixon line thing, but I don't think it actually is.
Really?
I think it's a...
Nurture thing?
Yeah, it's a nurture thing. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yep. That's exactly right.
Like, I would say there are... I have 3 chickens. Would you say that?
Yes.
You wouldn't say I have 3 chicken?
No. It's just certain things.
But
I,
there's
I
people
know.
From Raines County that say, I got 3 head of chicken.
3 head of chicken. That's right. It might say, got 6 halves of chicken. A half of beef, right? Oh, beefs is another one that's just weird anyways.
Beefs.
There's some beefs out there.
I love saying beefs. That's a good word, dude.
So back to the dough, right?
Yeah, so.
Is that the one dough? Or
that's a good question.
Yeah, well,
how many?
There was one big mama dough.
Was
and
she
then
going?
One, yeah, she was going. And there was a little fawn. It had a hard time shooting the mama doe with the fawn.
That's right.
And so didn't shoot then. But other than that, I have not really seen deer on Texas public.
Was that decision based on a personal ethic of you were sad or on a biological function?
It was actually... So when I started hunting, like I said, my family doesn't really hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And... One thing my mama has always told me is don't shoot one with a fawn. That's all she's ever asked, so that's kind of why I did
it. You should have told me that. I would have been like, dude, don't be shooting that thing.
I would make my mom mad and didn't want to do that. So.
Yeah.
Don't want to do that, man.
But, yeah, the other last weekend or so, whenever that was, it was raging where I was.
He wants to fast forward past the hog thing. He didn't want to talk about that one either.
The hog thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dang, dude. He's going to get you the whole podcast.
And the sticks thing. Dude, we got to tell the whole story. Eric wants to get to the meat so bad, but I want the salad and the ranch dressing.
All right. Well, listen, we only got so much time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know.
We have time.
Okay.
We got time.
Yep.
So, okay. One time.
I'm setting up here. All right, Eric. I know you want to tell a story, but I'm the guy who, like, talks over people. I'm sorry
in that way.
No, you're not. And it's good.
So we need to set you up for this awesome success you had
mm-hmm.
by talking about some of the debacles and things that happen to people when they're learning to hunt and even experienced hunters.
Yeah.
Right? So you had some funny stuff happen this year.
Yep.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, one time, me and Michael went out to some public land. And, man, that I remember that morning I was so torn on where I was going to go and... Finally, we get there, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to this spot. It's going to be awesome. Drop Michael off. Then I get to my spot, and I start getting all my gear together. And then about that time, I didn't have my sticks, I realized.
Oh, no!
So I was like, well, crap. Guess I'm ground hunting. And it didn't really matter because I went in there and saw nothing. So
man.
That was one of the times.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of, the hog. Another time... I had a hog come in.
At a place we call the Fur Cone.
Yeah.
And at the Fur Cone, this hog came, I mean, pretty close to me. Mm-hmm. It was behind me and on a saddle. It was at 6 o'clock. And, you know, I'm still trying to learn hogs and what they can see and don't see. And so I was a little slow moving to, like, get the camera on him. And I probably should have shot him when he was behind me. But I didn't, and he pretty much got right under me. And I think he saw me move. If I remember right.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what you told me. Yep.
I got the camera on him and was waiting for him to just take a few more steps out from underneath me, and I think he saw me.
Is this hog footage in your video?
It's not.
Should it be? Or
should it be?
I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. You're making a cool video. You make it how you want it.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll save that for my first hog.
That'd be there good. You go. Yeah.
But I think the point of bringing that up is your experience with that certain location.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's the same spot. I went back last weekend. And
did you want to go to that spot again, or had you really burned yourself on that spot?
I can tell you.
It was tough. I did not want to go to this spot because I had not seen a deer at this spot yet.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure the night before, you told me to go to Fir Cone.
Yeah.
And you didn't I knew hear that. If I didn't, something would show up on the cell cam there, and Casey would be, oh, I told you to go there.
The morning, so I was driving up there, I was trying to give you options, but I was also trying to tell you. And I've been saying, just toot my own horn a little bit here, since y'all been going up there, which is several times, I've been saying, dude, Fir Cone is like number one spot. Yep. You ought to go there. And I think if I can interject, and I don't know, this may be the wrong timing on this, so I'm sorry if it is, but I think that the difference or the issue with this spot was the camera didn't get rehung.
I was just going to say that.
Go ahead. Yeah.
So one of the big reasons I didn't like the spot, one, was I was not seeing deer there when I did hunt there, but we weren't getting very much photos on the cell cam.
Yeah.
What kind of camera
we have there?
Moultrie.
A Moultrie Mobile. Yeah, yeah, that's
it's
right.
It's an Edge. Do we have an Edge there?
I think so.
I believe so.
Yeah, it's a new Moultrie Mobile camera. Yeah. It's nice. I mean, it's just nice to know, I don't know, like KC said this before, but to have the Moultrie Mobile app, it's almost like a social media that people aren't attacking each other on. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so even if nothing else, you can be out of state and you can just look through and be like, oh, man. You know,
cool.
Getting to look at bug pictures,
that's
you
right.
know, and he's like, oh, that's a real hot area right now, man, when we get back, you know.
Well, one of the neat things about, and not neat, about Fir Cone is that it's a DMA, which we call Deer Movement Area, to where it looks like a really good pinch, but actually deer move through there in like a 75-yard area. They just kind of weave in and out. Mm-hmm. So this is one of those situations where the cell cameras are really nice. You know, having that Moultrie app showing you deer is nice, but at the same time, it's not telling you the whole story because the morning you went in there, it took no pictures.
Yeah.
And I would feel as if that is not the situation that you experienced.
Yeah. So, yeah, was not getting pictures, went in there, and it was a rage fest that morning.
Ragers!
I mean, from the minute I got set up, like, about the time I got set up, get the camera all set up and everything, I hang my bow. I don't even have my release on yet. It's, like, 6:25, something like that. Like, the sun's first light is, like, 5-10 minutes away, I think. Yeah, first light. Yeah. And I hear something big moving probably 40, 50 yards away. And I could see it. It was a big body, but I couldn't tell if, like, the rack size or anything like that. It may have just been a big doe, but the way it was acting, it looked like a big buck with his nose to the ground.
Yeah.
And so that got me juiced up. And then once the sun came up, had another buck came coming through on the same trail, nose to the ground, and then another buck followed that buck. And so I knew there's probably a hot doe in there the night before or something. I actually, I think it was the second buck that came through. I gave him a little doe bleat call from Phelps, the new ones we got. And he came half circle running to me. And I thought I was about ready to shoot this deer. Because he came, I mean, just nose to the ground. He crossed this little creek. And I came full draw when he was probably 10 yards maybe. And about the time I came full draw, I think he caught me doing that because he looked right up, saw me, and was out of there.
Mm.
I was like, dadgummit.
He's a nice deer, man.
I don't know if I've seen the footage of that deer. I'm interested to see him.
We have him on trail camera.
Do we?
I think real close to the time that he went in there, like within a day or two.
Interesting.
And this is in that episode. I didn't get footage of him with my main camera, but he's on my GoPro, so you'll see that encounter.
Wait, is he the one with the weird side?
No, he kind of looks short-beamed, but he's just wide.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
So that happened. Got me a little shook up and didn't know if I was going to get another chance.
Yeah.
But not long later, another buck came through, same trail, and I hit him with a doe bleat, And he looked up and heard it, but just kind of kept eating. And I wasn't sure if he heard it, so I used the buck grunt call from Phelps too.
What was he eating on?
It's a good question. Something green.
He's eating on the ground, stuff
yeah,
on the ground?
Yeah, yeah. And hit him with the grunt call, and he heard that, but then he started coming to me but was still eating. And he kind of slowly made his way towards me and then just started thrashing this little conifer tree.
Coniferous.
Yeah. For about 3 to 5 minutes, I watched him just thrash his tree.
Was it a fir?
It was a fir.
I would say not. No.
You don't think?
It was a juniper.
It was juniperous.
But this whole time, I'm like, I don't know if this buck's legal enough. The whole 13-inch wide.
Legal <you know>?
Enough. Oh, yeah, he's legal
that
enough.
That makes it stressful, doesn't it?
It
for
does.
You and your first buck, it makes it stressful and takes away some of the enjoyment of the experience mm-hmm. because you're like, man, I want to shoot this thing bad.
Yeah.
I would love to shoot a deer, a buck.
Honestly, at this point, I didn't think I was going to shoot this buck because I did not think he was legal.
Yeah.
And I kind of just watched him and watched him. And then he starts stepping out more, and I got a better glimpse of him. I'm like, this guy might be legal. And then he gets stops right at 20, and it's just like a golden opportunity. I'm like, man, I don't know what to do, and I'm holding my bow. And then he finally looks at me, and he is past the ears.
Let's go.
Yeah.
And he looked tall, and
he was tall.
I came full draw and just put what I felt like a money shot on him. And he just... he ran off, and at this point, I'm like, now I'm freaking out, like, crap, is that deer legal?
No.
Yeah.
And I was...
it's the worst.
Oh, yeah. Especially never shooting a buck, you know, that happens. And pretty sure I heard him crash not long after, but I wasn't positive. I knew the shot was good, but I knew it was maybe a little bit back. So I thought I maybe hit liver, but...
yeah, this ain't an outdoor TV a little bit back either. It actually is a little bit back. Yeah, it's not like a lot of bit back.
But I heard, like, not necessarily a crash, but it sounded like he just laid down. But I just wasn't positive, so I immediately called Tyler, tell him what's up.
Yeah.
I was trying to, when you called me, I knew you were worried about the, you know, withdrawal.
Yeah.
And I was trying to convince you not to worry about it.
Yeah.
Because it's just I don't know. That ruins the moment, dude.
It does.
You know what I mean? And I did not want the moment to be ruined for you. So I just told you that I could easily cut his antlers off and glue them back to where they're wide
yeah,
enough.
Yeah, totally works.
It was hard for me to get excited because, like,
yeah.
One, I had shot that buck in 2020 and never found him.
Dude,
so
I've
like,
done the same thing. I've shot a deer that was like barely legal before, and it ruined the whole thing thinking about if I made the right decision or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I had that, and then like just the worry of like, man, am I going to find this deer? Because I've been down this road before. And so just wasn't excited, just kind of a little just up in the air, like what's about to happen?
Yeah.
I think we all got together then, ate some Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty good food.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And,
love Taco Bell.
It's so good. But we went back out there, brought the game cart.
Confidence.
And once we got back out there, Tyler and KC realized that Moultrie camera we hung was not in the right area.
Yeah.
So we placed that in the right spot, and I think we've been getting better pictures since then, right?
Yeah. Some, yeah. There's been a few around.
There was good pictures in mid-November there, but we were out of state. And I feel like that if we were getting good pictures there, if we'd had it at the spot we originally had it, it would have been unbelievable.
Yeah. Which me, Michael, and Greg were the ones to hang that camera in the summer, so that's why it was not in the right spot.
Well, and it's hard in the summer sometimes. You can't really – things don't stick out as well. The trails aren't as good, those kind of things. But, you know, one thing – I guess I'll talk about this a little bit too. This is a tip because this tip comes to me through how we found this spot. And we ended up finding this spot based off of hunting squirrels in the snow. And we found a couple of tracks where it looked like some deer had gone through a specific spot that was kind of in the woods. And it kind of looks like a pinch when you're in there, but outside of that, it's hard to see on the map. But I'll just give you a tip real quick on X, on how to use on X to your advantage and potentially find these spots a little easier. One thing you can do on X is you always have, or a lot of people at least, have the property, private property lines on. And if you use that layer and you have the private property lines on surrounding, that it, on the private properties that are surrounding the public, you can see the old fence lines that have been there for generations a lot of times. And that, not always, but that old fence line that comes off of a property that may be like, say, 160 acres or something, like that thing's been, that's a quarter section, that's been there a while. So that fence line potentially carries on into the public, and you may not actually see the fence, like it may be torn out or whatever, but the trees that grow there will be different, and the deer can see these. They might be landmark type trees in a sea of small cedar elms or something like that, and these will be big hackberries that grew up along a fence line or something. So with that, just kind of keep that in mind if you're ever kind of looking for the hidey spot that is hard to find. When I say hidey, it's hiding from other public land hunters. You can use those fence lines. It's kind of a cool feature that I like to use with with Onyx. So anyway, I stole your thing there for a second.
It's all good.
That's how we found this spot originally, and it has really paid off to
have
a camera there.
You've had a good hunter too there as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good spot, and I like it because of kind of what you're saying. For a public land spot, it's actually kind of hard to map scout and find. You got to be in there and kind of confirm a few things. So, Eric, we all went back in there.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
We all went to my arrow, which I saw the arrow from the tree I was hanging in. And I could tell that it had good blood on it, but I wanted to wait for you guys to get there because it just stuck into the... What kind of tree was that? A burr? Yeah, there you go.
Osage Orange.
Boys the Ark.
And
horse apple.
Had pretty good
hedge
blood
apple.
On it.
Hedge apple. Yeah.
Hedge apple. That's right. Mm-hmm. we started following the blood trail. We got to a point where we found really good blood.
Yeah, that's when I was like, oh... Done
deer.
It's like just a line of blood. And it wasn't long after that. I think I looked up and just saw him laying under another conifer tree.
Ooh.
And I pointed up to Tyler. He's like, there he is. We all ran up there, and there he was.
There he was.
He is there
now. Look, my first buck.
Yeah, dude.
And it was awesome, man.
Yeah, it's so cool. So tell us a little bit about the buck, man.
Well, I remember he had some character on his brow tines.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he had a broken off split G2, is that right?
That's what it looked like.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. I forgot about that.
And man, it was just a cool first buck.
Yeah.
He's really tall, especially on that one side. The left side, I think, is his tall side, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
He had the side that he grew the split on, it's like he put effort into growing that split. Not that it's short, but like the other side's like super tall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
his toe, dude.
We measured him, and he barely made 13, so we're all good there. Yeah. And just everything checked out, and man.
In fact, game warden approved.
That's right. Exactly. That's right. We got checked on that deer, and he has passed, so that makes you pretty happy.
Uh-huh.
Eric, congrats, first of all.
Thanks, man.
Awesome thing to put together, man. And you self-filmed it, which is a huge, like, very difficult thing to do.
Yep.
Now, tell me about your setup there.
With my, arrow?
No, with your
saddle.
Your hunting setup. Your like your saddle, your tree you picked, and how that all worked out.
Well, where the camera was and like where we were getting pictures was north of me. And I can't remember, we had north winds that day if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
Northwest.
Northwest, yes.
Yep.
And so I set up just a little south of there. Kind of where we were getting pictures of, and that's basically
kind of a smallish tree,
yeah,
for normal what we try to hang in.
It was hard to find a tree in there to make it work, but I ended up finding one that'd work. I was not that high up, probably like 12 feet, probably something like that,
yeah,
and had good cover. But the first buck that came in, I think I was a little skylit on him, so
yeah,
but
at that distance for sure.
Where this buck was, I felt pretty good with my cover.
Yeah, and you were hanging in a cruiser saddle?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
The XC.
Well, you're using the Seeker platform, the Seeker Mini.
Mini Seeker.
What do you think about the Mini?
I like it, dude. Yeah? I like it. It's lighter, obviously.
Yeah.
And it's easier to get into smaller trees and
mm-hmm.
tight spots. So,
I liked your tree setup because of how low you were.
Really?
Yes. I thought I was like, man, that just makes me happy. mm-hmm. It's cool.
I remember you saying that makes you happy. And I was wondering why.
Well, I don't use the phrase makes me proud because pride's a bad thing. So I'm trying to use, like, what the actual feeling I'm trying to convey is like, man, it makes you real happy that Eric feels comfortable enough to hang low in a tree.
Yeah.
You know, because mm-hmm. I think that was the exact right move for
Just because I'm scared of heights.
That's funny.
Dude, you've been getting bold lately, dude. Getting into the stand with me. I know.
I feel like I'm more confident now just getting up in trees. And, like, some situations that I just don't want to use a lineman's rope because you're going around, like, limbs and stuff. So it's just better to, once I get up there, then to use my lineman rope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, dude, huge congrats on the first buck. And you know what? That's only half of the day.
That's right.
The Greg Eyes deployed in the afternoon. So, okay, there is a transition here, a shuffle of ways. It would seem that since Eric self-filmed him a deer, he doesn't have a deer tag to use anymore. He gets to go film somebody else. And one of the two other guys gets to go do a little hunting themselves. How'd y'all figure out who's hunting, Greg?
Yeah, we just flipped a coin after Eric shot his buck.
Yeah?
So.
Heads and or tails?
Yeah, what'd you call?
I let Michael call. He called heads. I was like, all right, good. So, got tails and won the coin toss.
Yeah. So, you had your eye on a spot out there. It's kind of like, it's a Greg hole, I'd say.
Well, I mean, y'all found the spot. Like, I don't know how many years ago y'all found the spot, but
yeah, it's been a while back.
But ever since we went there in the summer, I was like, man, I like this spot. Like, there's a deadfall tree that's like 20 yards from the main trail, and I had my eye on the deadfall for quite a while.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You're a natural ground hunter.
Yeah, I've never really hunted in a place you could get up in a tree, so on the ground is kind of the way I've grown up doing it.
Mm-hmm. And so you kind of have, which is kind of neat, you kind of have an eye for, like, places that make for good ground hunting.
Yep.
Yeah. And this place is just like that, right?
Yeah, this big deadfall tree that falls over a secondary creek, and it just sets up perfect to put a chair down in it and hunt from the ground and wait for one to come by.
Your chair of choice is
you say it's an Academy chair, but I called it a Walmart chair.
Gotcha. But everybody kind of knows what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Did you have one cup holder or two?
I have one cup holder.
What did you put in that cup holder?
I don't think I put anything in.
Really?
No. So this chair has arms on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I usually don't like the ones with the arms on it because mm-hmm. it kind of gets in the way of your draw.
Mm-hmm.
But this one was low enough that it worked out pretty good.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's cool. So, how did your afternoon go?
Well, after I won the coin toss.
Deferred to the second half.
Yeah, deferred to kick. But, Tyler and Michael dropped me off at the spot I was going to. And as soon as I got out of the truck, I was hearing gunshots. And
I forgot about this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So I hear some gunshots. I'm like, okay, whatever. And I start trying to walk in to go access. And start realizing the gunshots are getting closer and they're in my direction as I'm trying to access my spot. And I'm hearing the bullets hit and then the gunshot. So that's how I knew they were pointing my way. And I get about halfway to my spot and I thought the shooting was done and I started walking and all of a sudden they just start pouring gunshots in my direction.
Oh my goodness. And it was unintentional.
Yeah. They're just shooting at stuff, but they happened to be shooting towards the tree line that I was walking. So
golly.
I'm hearing gunshots, and I just take off running into the woods because I was like, I got to get some cover between me and the gunshots.
Gosh. And
this is all on video. And
I appreciate you taking.
I was like, I'm at least gonna film the last few minutes of my life.
That's right. It's like I might die, but I'm gonna take the time to hit the record button. That way they know what happened.
Yeah, there's gotta be some evidence.
Yeah,
but I take off running in the woods. A couple of bullets you can hear. Like, it sounds pretty scary. But after I get past that. And my access is terrible by this point because I just busted into the woods, not going where I wanted to go to access the spot. But earlier that morning, we had seen a good buck on trail camera go through there. And I had a good feeling he was going to be on the other side of the creek crossing. So I didn't think my access would be too bad if I came through there. But I got in there at a decent time. It was probably, 3:30, 3 o'clock, I don't know. Got set up, and within 20 minutes of being in the blind, this small buck comes down the trail, and he's working his way. I'm trying to tell if he's a shooter or not. I'm just trying to judge him. I see pretty quickly that, okay, this is a 1.5, not going to shoot this guy. He might have been 2.5, I don't know, but he works his way, and then instead of crossing the creek, he goes up the ditch and lays down 12 yards from me.
Golly.
Fun times.
And
Greg's the only guy who can pass that test. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody stiller than Greg.
The only person is the Statue of Liberty.
That's right.
You got to be still to hunt on the ground.
You ever been driving down 45 and you see that majestic white porcelain statue of Sam Houston?
Old Sammy.
That's Greg whenever there's deer around.
Yep. Sentinel.
But this deer lays down at 12 yards and lays there for probably 30 to 45 minutes. Lays down. It takes me 15 minutes to get my hand up to turn the camera off.
It doesn't surprise me a bit.
And he's just laying there. The wind's good. He's not going to smell me, and he just goes about his business. And then after 30, 45 minutes, he gets up and kind of mills around, feeds on stuff, and kind of works his way into the brush. I hear him every once in a while, but I'm not too concerned with him. But then about 15, 20 minutes after he got up and worked his way that direction, I started hearing a deer in the same direction. I was like, that's probably just him. I keep looking over there, and then I see a deer. I'm like, okay, it's probably him. And I see antlers. I'm like, wait, is that him? And then I see a big, giant right side come through the brush. I'm like, okay, this is a shooter. Yeah, and he takes his time, like, works his way. Probably takes him 7 or 8 minutes from the point I saw him. And he's just feeding on stuff, works his way down to the secondary creek crossing. And crosses the creek, kind of runs to the bottom of the creek like they always do, and kind of slows up his walk once he gets to the other side. And he's at about 20 yards at this point. And he's at a really slow walk, and I just felt good about the shot. And I shot him at 20 yards on the walk.
Dang, bold man.
Yeah, I never thought I'd even, like, do that. But just naturally, I didn't grunt stop him, and I just took the shot.
Yeah.
And shot sounded good when I let it go, but I was like, crap, was that too far back? I don't know. He runs off about 35 yards and stops, and then he blasts down into the creek bottom and just crashes into the bank and just falls over. And so I was pretty pumped at that time.
Yeah, did you give him a boom or a left-handed fist pump?
I gave some left-handed fist bumps.
Yeah, for sure.
Fist pumps. But, bumps and pumps.
Yeah.
Bumps and pumps.
Bumps, pumps. That deer took a tump.
So was that deer slightly quartering away?
I think he was slightly quartering too.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Because the
way
exit,
that trail works.
The exit comes out a little back of where it enters.
Yeah. And so... You know, shooting a deer on the walk, is a bold thing. It definitely can still be effective. I know Tyler's killed a few deer that way. I don't know if I've shot many deer that were moving.
Also messed one up bad this year on the walk.
Yeah. Talk about a little, you know, you said instinctively you just kind of did it, but...
Yeah, like normally I would grunt stop a deer, but I felt it was so quiet and...
It was quiet.
I mean, he was like on the ground like that. Yeah. I knew he was going to freak out if I macked him right there.
Yeah. So and, did you aim differently?
Yeah, I aimed probably at the point of the shoulder, and you still always, you hit a little further back than you realize.
You do, like, man. You do.
Dude, I took a running hot.
Except for South Dakota this year.
That's right. Yeah. I took a running shot at a boar hog about 2 years ago, and you wouldn't believe how far forward you have to aim on a pig or anything. And the hog was at 20 yards, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, I can do this. Yeah. I hit like a whole hog behind that thing. It's crazy, man. It's wild, you know. And like, that's a thing to think about. On the walking shot on a deer, yeah, it's effective. I wouldn't do it much further than 20 for sure. You know, like, I think that would be a bad call.
And also, I feel like you have this like subconscious thing where you're like, okay, if I let it go back, I'm still going to kill him, but you just don't want to hit the front shoulder and like aim too far, lead him too much. So you're always tempted to lead him not enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that you actually hit, you know.
Let me ask you this. There's this thing in like wing shooting. Where there's like a follow, or there's a like people pass through, or supposedly, what I've heard, the most ineffective thing is to like point in front of and wait on the bird to come into your shot and pull the trigger.
Yep.
What's your method on taking a walking shot on a deer like that?
Well, I mean, I never really had a method until this point. It just kind of happened, but I drew, and I was just kind of following him as he went through shooting holes. And then he got up in the open. He slowed up quite a bit. And I just felt good, and I just hit the trigger.
So you kind of like brought it into him and shot whenever you got it where you wanted it to be.
Yeah, like I was on him for, I mean, probably 5 to 10 yards of just following him through my peep sight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he finally slowed up, and I was like, I just settled the pin and just let it rip.
Mm-hmm. So you shot this buck with a fixed or an expandable?
Shot it with a fixed blade.
What was your decision behind fixed blade?
Well, the trail leading up there, I felt like there's a chance that a deer could catch me and freeze up quartering to me like pretty hard. And there's some brush in there. I was like, I had a expandable I was going to try out because I've never shot him before. But I felt like with the brush and the chance of a quartering two shot, I was like, I'm just going to go with a fixed blade.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not shooting over 25 yards in there, so I'm not too worried about accuracy.
And yeah, I wouldn't be worried about accuracy either, man. It's no big deal.
At 25 yards, I feel like I'm going to hit what I'm going to hit.
Yeah, so. Yeah. You can shoot pretty good. So I have a theory on, you know, your deer ran out 35 yards and kind of stood around. It's like, what's going on?
Yeah.
I think that there's two things that assisted in that happening. And those two things are you're shooting a slower setup. So, like, your FPS is, like, in the 240s, I think, right?
Yeah, it's pretty slow.
And which is still plenty fast enough to kill deer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's not a big deal at all. Shooting a heavier arrow. And
are you shooting hammers?
Yeah, hammers.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you are shooting a fixed-blade broadhead, which means there's no slap of or sound too much of the thing deploying, right?
Yeah.
So all that stuff combined, your animal doesn't freak out whenever the arrow hits.
Yeah, he had no clue what just happened.
Yeah.
Like, it zipped straight through him, and he was just like, what's going on? And, you know, he's losing blood, and he's done.
Zipped so hard that we couldn't find the arrow.
Yeah, I think it's in a tree somewhere. I look back at the footage.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's up on a tree somewhere.
Up. So you think, like, was this deer, did you shoot him slightly uphill from where you were?
No, we're probably on the same level, but he just came up the hill and there's some trees behind him. I think you can hear the arrow hit.
Oh, really?
I think we might have been looking in the wrong spot.
Yeah, but, I got you. That's cool, though. Man, and Greg, see, I haven't been around Greg too much when he has shot something. apparently he kind of likes to do the tricky secret thing. So, yeah. So I didn't get to know what Greg shot until we made it like halfway into the woods on the recovery. I didn't know what we were going to get or what we were doing, man. I didn't know nothing about the gunshots. I might not even have gone if I knew they were shooting guns over there, you know.
Yeah.
That's part of the deal.
Yeah.
So we all go off in there to kind of do the thing, man, because it's fun. People kill deer. Yeah. Right?
Hey, talk a little bit about what the deer looked like. His cool deer.
Oh, yeah. This deer is probably the first, like, non-typical-looking deer shot.
Mm-hmm.
He's got one. His right side is just normal. He's almost got five on his right. He's got, like, a small
hang a ring on it kind of time.
Yeah, you can hang a ring on it. But, yeah, his normal five-point side on the right side, and then the other side is just this huge, long main beam that goes straight up and this, like, weird brow tine that kind of goes forward a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And just a really cool-looking deer.
CLD.
And, yeah, one of those. And just, I don't know how old he was, but 3 or 4 years old, I mean, just mature buck and happy to shoot one on public land like that.
Man, congrats on that. That's a toad. It's he has like that square body. I've been watching that deer on trail camera.
Yeah,
he
looks like a tank.
Yeah, he was the boss of the woods in there.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. And pretty cool story, man. It's neat to do the public land double.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you and Eric pulled off something that doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
And your video actually will come out probably around Christmas, maybe a little bit before,
probably,
or something like that.
And I won't spoil the other part of that video. It's Spike's part.
Yeah.
With, you know, I mean, it is a big old buck story, but I won't tell it.
The fun thing about all see. This is that, so we have Tyler and I, and we got y'all three, so Michael, Eric, and Greg, and y'all help out tremendously by filming us. And it just was interesting how this day the guy who was self-filming both times was the one who ended up doing the shooting.
Yeah.
So y'all did a good job with the filming and stuff. You know, the self-filming thing is difficult for sure.
Michael get a shot, actually.
He did.
Yeah. He got a shot. I actually got the shot on film. I was shocked that I
great.
Did. I didn't even know I did. But
footage is killer, dude.
Yeah.
Killed
it. It's going to be pretty cool to watch, man. So congrats on the bucks, dudes. It was a pretty sweet thing. Anything else? Any more details about your deer? Anything that we should talk about that we haven't? I'm trying to think. I mean, it was just see, Greg is cool, guys. I don't know if y'all realize this, but Greg is like, we all kind of want to be Greg a little bit, okay? So, like, there's never dramatics too much with Greg. He just goes in there and does something from time to time, you know? Like, it's just kind of smooth.
It's all in the eyes, man.
That's it, dude.
Man.
I would love to have seen Greg. Dude, do you know that his eye, he didn't blink for like 15 minutes last night. Yeah. So we got a lot more cool stuff coming down the pipe here.
Uh-huh.
We just actually went and did a little hunting with our buddy Clay Newcomb. You'll be able to watch that video on the Buck Truck series that is coming out next year on the Meteor Channel. And if you've listened this long, you get to get in on a little bit of knowledge here, okay? We are going to continue working with Meat Eater, joining forces with the Meat Eater crew over there, and going to keep on doing some really cool stuff here at the Element. So nothing's going to change too much.
No.
But we're going to be have some opportunities to probably just do some really, really cool stuff. And I'm pretty excited about it, man.
Can you kind of expand on how you feel about it, the whole deal?
Yeah.
Because KC, just everybody knows this already, but KC's a little bit cynical at times. And, you know, so for anybody who might be skeptical of what's going on,
yeah,
make them feel good.
All right. I'll make you feel good right now. I don't like the idea of not getting to do exactly what I want to do. All right? Y'all probably know that I'm my only child. Now, I do have an A-type personality, which is kind of not an only child thing to do, but I still have the independence of an only child. I have a little bit of the, what did Clay call it? Like a little bit of the snappiness or whatever it is, you know, like got a little edge to the way I think about things, and I'm not afraid to you know, tell people like it is sometimes, according to our other buddy Scott at the, you know, this week.
All truth is what he said.
All truth. And I'll tell you the truth right now. We are going to be able to be ourselves with Meat Eater, and it's going to be awesome. We're going to be able to continue traveling the country, doing some really cool stuff, shooting deer, and honestly, it's just going to make things more streamlined and give us more opportunity to do that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you followed our podcast for a while, then you know who we are, and I can probably say this openly, it's gonna let us bring our beliefs and the way we do stuff to a bigger audience, and I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, I think you know, another point to make is this has been something that you and I have been trying to discern or understand if or how we should do for like 6 months or more.
Yeah,
about 6 months, I think. So this isn't like something we just quickly decided on. We knew that this was a potential thing on the table for about 6 months now. Not that we want to say, hey, we've been hiding this for 6 months, but there was really no way we could talk about it because we weren't sure that any of it was going to happen, because we were skeptical.
We didn't want to do that or not.
We wanted to make sure who they were, you know what I mean? And that's what a lot of people want to know. Who is Meat Eater?
Yeah.
Well, it's fixing to be the Element.
That's right.
What it's about to be.
We're about to take this thing over.
That's right.
Let's go.
Meat Eater. Who?
Yeah. Stephen. So Meat Eater's full of people who like to hunt and fish, and that's us too. So this is going to work out pretty good, I'd imagine. I'm looking forward to pretty much getting to do what we do now, but also just have a bigger, stronger network. So it's gonna go well, guys. Yeah. And if you are a supporter of ours and have been around for a while or new to us and like us a lot too, we appreciate your support.
Mm-hmm.
And by no means do we want this to be a situation where you feel abandoned or turned away. In fact, Meteor is going to hold us more accountable to making podcasts happen more often. So hopefully you'll get a few more of these. We're sorry that we've been so busy this fall and things have been sporadic, but we will get back on the weekly schedule here and be having these things for you. So if you have something that you want to talk about, need to reach out or whatever, feel free to send us a message on social or whatever. And we appreciate y'all's support.
Mm-hmm.
With that in mind, remember to be who you are, all right? You are a creation to God. You are who you were raised to be. Don't shy away from who you are. You know, there is ultimate truth, all right? It's out there. It's in the Bible. You need to try to be who you're supposed to be, do things right, and, you know, this time of year, it's time to be a family man. We got holidays coming up. You know, you got that kind of stuff going on. Make sure that you're spending time with your family. Show them you love them. They might not be there, be around for forever. We're talking about some of that stuff this weekend. Man, things can change in an instant. Mm-hmm. So make sure and spread that love. Remember to be who you are. And remember, this is your element.
Live in it.
Hey everybody, listen up. I got mega huge news. Meat Eater Live is heading back out on the road. That's right, join me and the crew. Clay Newcomb, Cal, Yanni, Spencer's gonna be there. Phil the engineer is gonna be there. Meat Eater Live, headed back out. Now, when you get every ticket, okay, every ticket you buy, you get a signed copy of our new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook. This tour is celebrating the release of the book. Buy a ticket, get a signed copy, Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, Wild Game Recipes for the Grill, Smoker, Camp Stove, and Camp Fire, which I'll point out is a $38 value. Here's where we're going to go. April 23rd, the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona. April 24th, the Balboa Theater in San Diego. April 25th, the Grove in Anaheim, California. April 27th, the Crest Theater in Sacramento. April 29, the Union in Salt Lake City. April 30, the Egyptian in Boise. May 1, the Wilma Theater in Missoula. May 2, the Bing Crosby Theater in Spokane, Washington. May 4, Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon. And May 5, the last day of the tour, Pantages Theater in Tacoma, Washington. For tickets and more information, visit the events page at themeateater.com. Hope to see you at the show.